You're listening to Dr. Barry Dworkin on Sunday House Call.
Does it matter where a woman's source of calcium comes from? Does it make a difference for bone health? This question was posed by Washington University researchers in a study published in the May issue of the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition. And joining us today, I'm pleased to introduce Dr. Rina Armamento Villarreal, Assistant Professor of Medicine in the Division of Bone and Mineral Diseases at Washington University School of Medicine in St. Louis, and a bone specialist at the Barnes Jewish Hospital. Good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon.
What are some of the normal physiological processes that the body uses to maintain bone integrity, density, and function?
Oh, okay. The body maintains that by maintaining a good level of calcium in the blood. And this is an interplay between hormonal factors such as estrogen, the parathyroid hormone, and vitamin D. And normalizes calcium in the body is from vitamin D, helps in the absorption of calcium. And then calcium, of course, is attracted to the bone and gets deposited in the bone, in the bone matrix. Now, parathyroid hormone adjusts the serum calcium because it feeds back. When the body calcium is low, it promotes activation of the inactive vitamin D to the active form to absorb more calcium, or it mobilizes calcium from the bone into the blood. And so to normalize calcium. So this is an interplay of these factors. And estrogen, of course, estrogen is important in the building of bones, especially during the growing years, and maintenance of bones during the adult years.
And is this why, as the woman enters menopause, we see changes in the calcium absorption of bone and the effects on bone density?
Yes, basically, precisely, you know. That they lose bone as the woman ages or went through menopause or go through menopause.
What was the impetus for your study? What brought you to ask the question whether the source of calcium made a difference in bone health?
Because initially we were not really looking at this thing. What we found out was we are more interested in estrogen metabolism. And what happened in our analysis, we found that there was a good correlation between the amount of estrogen metabolites, meaning the breakdown products of estrogen in the urine and the amount of calcium that's taken. So what we did was to analyze whether it matters, whether the source of calcium is important in the amount of estrogen breakdown products in the urine. And we found out that, in fact, there is a relationship between the type of calcium intake and the amount of breakdown products in the urine, meaning women who have high calcium intake from dietary sources have higher amounts of active estrogenic compounds. Basically, so they metabolize their estrogen into the active form rather than those taking the pills. Now, as an analysis, whether this would translate to better bone densities, and that's when we found out that actually those obtaining calcium from the diet have better bone densities than those obtaining calcium from the pills alone. So we thought it's because of this mechanism, possibly that one of the mechanisms that calcium helps in, I mean, the type of calcium helps in building bones, or what, there's a difference in, you know, the bone density of women because of the fact that that calcium metabolizes estrogen to more to active estrogenic compound, the dietary calcium shifts the estrogen pathway into the active estrogenic metabolic compounds, in turn, for these women having better bone densities.
How did you design your study? What group of women were you looking at, and how did you see that line up with the hypothesis that you presented?
They are all postmenopausal women. The problem with our study is a cross-sectional. It's not a longitudinal. Mm-hmm. So what we did is we mailed patients, you know, we did these letters. And then who responded, we interviewed them on the phone to see if they qualify for the inclusion-exclusion. And basically we have inclusion-exclusion. If they qualify for the study, then we send them out a week before they come to visit us. They send them out this dietary food questionnaire. They fill it out, the daily sources of their calcium through a seven-day period. And then they bring it with us when they come to see us. They bring that record. So we average their calcium intake because that dietary questionnaire contains several sources of calcium. And then so we add it up and divided it by seven because it's like, you know, every day. They record
right.
it every day.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, now your findings, it did show that women who had calcium mm-hmm. from food sources mm-hmm. did indeed have better bone
yeah.
health or bone densities.
Mm-hmm. Aside from another theory too that we did, aside from, you know, influencing estrogen metabolism, is that calcium from food sources are probably better absorbed than calcium from, you know, pills. Mm-hmm. So that's another angle. Then we have another theory too that these women who are taking good amount of calcium from dietary sources may have been doing that throughout their life, meaning when they were kids, they were taking it, you know, mm-hmm. taking good amount of calcium from milk or from cheese, you know. Whereas these women who had been taking pills just started it, you know, after they were concerned about their bones during adulthood or their doctors recommended it to them and may not have been doing that, may not have been taking pills or taking a good amount of calcium from food sources when they were growing up.
So in other words, as you've mentioned earlier, mm-hmm. in the food itself, when they mm-hmm. when they are obtaining their calcium source from food, there are possibly compounds within the food itself that can help promote the absorption of calcium, or at least the calcium is not blocked from being absorbed as it would be from, say, a calcium salt, which is like a calcium tablet,
possibly.
where it could be interfered with.
Yes, possibly.
So what are the next steps for you? Like, how do you plan to take this investigation further? Because as you said, the limitation was that it was just a cross-sectional
yeah.
study
uh-huh.
as opposed to following people and doing a longitudinal study. What
yeah.
do you have plans to take this any further?
Yes. Uh-huh. In fact, we are in the process of getting a protocol, you know, written. What we're planning is like to see if like there's a difference, you know, our calcium itself in the postmenopausal period may prevent further bone loss, you know, may prevent bone loss. Now we'll try to find out if in fact the type of calcium matters, you know, with postmenopausal bone loss prevention. And then we were also planning to do this in growing children, you know, to see if getting kids to take pills versus getting them to take calcium from dietary sources
right.
would matter in the achievement of their peak bone density.
Well, Dr. Armamento Villarreal, mm-hmm. I'd like to thank you very much for taking the time to talk about the study. I think it does illustrate a very important point, is that it's always better to eat healthfully and have a wide variety of foods as opposed to depending upon a supplement or a nutrient supplement for that particular source, because there are aspects in the food itself that, as you've hypothesized, can certainly contribute to better health overall, and in this case, with regards to calcium, better bone health overall.
I agree, definitely.
Thank you very much for your time.
Okay.
All the best.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.